Purity is what you choose today before God. Purity is, I don't know, whatever happened in before today, whatever happened in the past, like God has forgiven me and has nailed my sin to the cross. And purity is what I want to choose today and for my future through the grace of the Lord.
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of his Spirit, do better so together we can be a little better. Hey everybody, welcome to A Little Better. I'm Britt. I'm the communications director here at Northridge. And today on the podcast, we have Ashley, Drew's beautiful wife, joining us. And Drew's back from a little hiatus. Welcome, Drew.
Wait, we get Ashley, beautiful. Oh, Drew's back. Fair. That's fine. It's cool.
We love you. Thank you. This is a safe space, right?
It is.
How long has it been since you've been on?
Taylor, what, 6 weeks? Yeah, 6 weeks.
6 weeks. That's a long time.
It's a really long time.
Welcome back.
The people are so...
They're dying to have you back.
I don't think that's it.
So we are in week six of our series on the Ten Commandments. Yep. And you had the short straw of speaking on adultery this week. Can you bring us into that a little bit further? Give us a 60-second recap.
Yeah, one, I don't know why everybody like has said that. Like adultery is, I feel like pretty, like, I think that most of the world would agree, like cheating is not good. So it's not super controversial, right? Maybe sex is kind of like a taboo topic in church, but basically we talked about the command. We talked about the both layers, like the practical layer of like not committing adultery, right? And why that's bad. And it's ultimately God as a father protecting his children from pain and hurt that sometimes you can't see in the midst of quick pleasure. And then we'd looked at like the bigger picture that really Jesus, as he fleshes out the heart of this command, he is teaching us that we're all adulterers, really, when it comes to our relationship with God, and that we are not faithful, but he always is faithful. And it's just a beautiful picture of the gospel. So a lot more going on there than just what meets the eye.
Yeah, I know you guys have previously said, you know, the first four weeks of this series and the Ten Commandments are about a vertical relationship. And now we've moved into some of those horizontal aspects, starting with Matt's talk on murder last week. And I've really appreciated that Jesus doesn't give us a cop-out. It doesn't matter where these, you know, murder, adultery, it could be really easy to just write it off. Oh, yep. That's not about me. But Jesus takes it further. What do you guys think about how he does that? How does that take it to the next level for all of us? What should we be taking away?
I'm answering this one.
Well, we both can. Go ahead.
I think it's really challenging because you can... walk into church and be like, well, I've never, you know, murdered anybody, like last week with Matt's talk. Or like, you can walk into church this week and maybe you walked in thinking like, you know, I don't really have to pay too much attention because like, I'm pretty happy in my marriage, or I'm not married yet, so I don't need to listen. But it like makes it more so, you know, you should pay attention, because actually adultery isn't just adultery. It's lust. Oh, and it's being unfaithful to God and cheating on God. And like that, we can all be guilty of like putting things in front of God and that relationship constantly. So that's super convicting. And you can also be really guilty. You know, last week, Matt's talk, everybody's that I can think of, including like one-year-olds, have been angry. You know what I mean? So like, if you have anger in your heart, like it's like, well, we can all pay attention, because you don't have to like hit snooze or like not listen, because these things all apply to everybody.
I when we think about how Jesus takes it like to another level, I don't even think he does that like that significantly. I think what he does is he's just like revealing really the heart behind it. We deal with this a lot just with our kids, right? Like we have rules in our house, and you know, our kids were like, well, I follow the rule, but like you miss the heart, right? And so we are constantly talking to our kids about, you know, hey, yeah, you did what we said, but you miss the most important piece. And I think ultimately what Jesus is doing as he teaches these messages and he fleshes these out, he's like, guys, you cannot, like in your marriage, you can be faithful according to the world standards, and still miss out on obedience to this law. And I think we see that with our kids all the time. Like, you can follow the rules and still miss the most important piece, which is your heart aligning with what God's trying to teach you there. And I think ultimately Jesus isn't necessarily even like raising the bar. He's just revealing his heart, a deeper level of intimacy with him and walking with him that we often just miss at the surface level.
Yeah, definitely. The heart, I loved when you had talked about it being a heart issue more than a physical act. Yeah. Yes, it is a physical act, but in reality, adultery never just happens. You don't just wake up one day and you're like, I think I'm going to have sex with a different person today.
Yeah, so true.
It's a slow process that over time is, you know, I'm going to be less intentional in this relationship. I'm going to choose to not sacrificially love this person that I have made this vow to. And maybe those are even subconscious, but ultimately you're getting to this root level of the heart.
Yep.
And what is that, you know, what are those things that we can guard our hearts before we even get to this place of acting out in this way?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things, and I think we can talk practically in our marriage what we do to, like, at some level, not affair proof it, but to put guardrails up from taking those steps. But I think you're right. And, you know, one side of this conversation that we can't get to is, like, in counseling, one thing that I love to tell people is, like, affairs, like, are not always just a one-sided thing too. Like, a marriage is, you're in it together. And so affairs don't just happen. Someone doesn't wake up and say, you know what? I don't like my spouse anymore. I'm gonna cheat on them. Like, there's things that happen. And so I think what's really important for marriages today is, like, hey, what can I do now that will protect me later? What things can I do that will protect my heart and my struggles that will save our marriage? And so, like, we can talk a little bit about some of the things that we've done, right? Like, obviously, Jesus talks about lust, right? It's bigger than just the act. So, like, there's things that Ashley and I do just practically with keeping us from lust. So I don't meet, like, with women. And when I do meet with women, doors are opened. There's ways that you can see. It's never a closed environment. I don't really hang out with women outside of really work at all, unless Ashley is present, right? These are just safeguards. And some people think that's, like, extreme, but I'd rather be extreme and save my marriage than, like, non-extreme and walk into a mess. With our phones, like, you know, pornography is such a huge thing. And so, like, Ashley has all the passcodes to my phone. She actually has put a passcode into my phone. So, like, on an iPhone, you can basically go in the settings and say limit adult active, like, any adult websites. And so she knows the passcode to my phone. I don't even know it. Like, I couldn't even access an adult website on my phone if I wanted to, because if I, in a moment of weakness, I search something, I would need a password to get there. I don't know what that password is. I don't even know if Ashley knows what that password is at this point.
Might have forgotten it. But good. Neither of us need to know it.
Right, yes. Exactly.
It's all locked out. I mean, I think there's, like, a million practical things. And a lot of them people, like, know. Somebody had told me early on, like, in, like, a text-based world, when you're texting somebody of the opposite sex because of, like, work things, or, like, as many times as I can, especially in our friendships, like, we try to, like, do group texts because, like, group texts are safe. It's not just two people. But if I am texting a male, you know, whether that be, like, a client through work or something that has to happen, you know, whatever. Like, a friend of mine a long time ago said, like, why would you ever text an emoji to the opposite sex that you're not married to? Because none of us really know half, you know, emojis can mean, like, so many different things. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds really dumb, but it's, like, a great little, like, tip. Like, nobody knows what emojis mean. Could somebody misrepresent an emoji? Could somebody misunderstand an emoji? So, like, if, as a rule of thumb, I never text emojis if I'm texting, like, the opposite sex. I try to put Drew in all group chats. Where we're, you know, if it's, like, friends, you know, activities, stuff outside of, you know, what we have to do with work. I think that's super helpful. We also, and this goes way back. So for people who are, like, just entering a relationship that they feel like is going to be, like, their, you know, a marriage relationship, we try to, have the same interests. So that, like, I mean, like a great way to avoid an affair is like trying to agree and have the same interests. So like, he's not going, like we try to truly like love the same things. We like to ski together. We like to do DIY together. We like to garden together. We try to have the same interests because like, if you marry somebody and you have a lot of different interests, that puts you in a lot of spaces where you're not with your spouse, which is like, that can be a temptation. The Bible tells us like, you know, if you've been apart from each other, come back together to avoid temptation. So he's not going on like huge, like long, like overnight golf trips. And I'm not going like traveling to other cities with like groups of other people. Like we're trying to like vacation together. We're trying to have the same like interests, which is helpful.
I think another way that like, again, we are, I warn people, this is a PG-13 message. This is a PG-13 podcast, by the way. We have an active sex life, right? Like we are very open about our sexual lives in the sense of like, God has given, in the context of marriage, sex to be an enjoyable, pleasurable thing. And so we take advantage of that. And we are very open with each other about our sex lives, our sex needs. And so like, the one beautiful thing is like, God has given us sex in marriage. And so like, I would challenge married couples to have fun with it. Like, you know, just don't be afraid of it. It's not a bad thing. And one thing that's hard is like, especially in the church world that like we couldn't talk about is like, we're so busy telling, you know, the younger generation with sex, like, no, 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 not until you're married, not until you're married. And that's right. But like, I try to tell even with our kids, like shaping their hearts of like, yes, sex is amazing when you do it God's way. Yes, sex in the context of marriage. And what it does is it helps them understand, like you don't have to flip a switch when you get married of like, oh, this is bad, now it's good, right? Sex, God created sex as good. When it's distorted, it's bad. But in the context of marriage, it's good. And so we have an active sex life where we, you know, try to help each other in the struggles that we have.
I think that another thing for me, another practical thing is like, I didn't come from a family that showed like tons and tons of like PDA, like public affection. And Drew is very like cuddly and snuggly and handholdy and kissing. And like, he doesn't care if it's in front of the kids. In fact, he's like happy if the kids see us snuggling, spooning, holding hands. He's like, Ash, this is what they need to see. Like, they need to know that we're in love. And that at first was awkward for me because I didn't really have that background so much. But he's like all about like, the kids should see us holding hands. The kids need to see us like engaging in like hugging and kissing and love in the home. And that is, and that helps set them up for the future too, mm-hmm. of like, it's not bad. A marriage is like a very safe space to have affection. And that's, yeah. But I mean, I think I agree with everything you said.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a lot of really great practical application. How would you guys say that translates into a dating world or somebody who's single, and how are they preparing well for all of those like practical applications? Like, do those still fit?
Yeah. I mean, I think no matter whether you're married or whether you're single, the what you're chasing after is the same. It's purity right now in the context, it could look different, right? For a single person, purity means like, I'm gonna, you know, hold off until the right context. So for like a single person, and this is just as hard, like it is so hard. You know, I think a lot of people were like, oh, sweet, I can skip out on this command, right? Adultery, I'm not worried about that right now, but I think you should be. I don't know if you're committing adultery on your future marriage, but it's kind of the same thing. When you give yourself away to someone else who isn't your spouse, the Bible says that you are creating a oneness that is only designed for marriage with someone who you're not married to. It's one thing that I would have loved to talk about in this message that we just didn't like have time, is like the way God designed marriage is like, when Ashley and I got married, the Bible says that we were joined together as one. We're one person. And sex is the thing that I believe does that. It brings a oneness, an intimacy from a physical standpoint, a spiritual standpoint, and a mental standpoint that is only designed for marriage. And so when you're a single person and you choose to join yourself with someone in oneness in the wrong context, it creates a lot of damage. Damage in your emotional state now and in your future marriage.
For sure. Yeah, I agree with all of that. I don't know if I have a lot to add to it, but I think...
What did you do when you were single to help prepare, like, if you were single right now, what would you tell yourself?
I mean, I think striving for purity, you hit the nail on the head. It's, you know, you can mess everything up before it's even started, especially emotionally. I feel like for women, that a lot of that is emotional. You know, your heart is in that. And is it old fashioned as that feels, and as different as that feels? I mean, we are called to be different, and it's extreme, and we're called to extreme difference. Mm. And so I know that culture like thinks this is literally hilarious, that like you would abstain from sexual activity until you're married, but there's not an easier way to put it. There's no easier way to say this.
And I think I would say to single people, right, there's a lot of people out there who have convinced themselves they're pure because they haven't had sex, but they are messing around in every other way. Mm. And that's not purity. Just because you're a virgin, but you've experienced everything else and continue to experience everything else, that's not purity, right? And for someone who made a mistake and had sex and regretted it and confessed that sin and has moved on, right? I think a person like that can feel like, I've ruined it. You didn't ruin it. You can still chase after purity. Don't let that one mistake define what your future marriage can be. Because I think a lot of times for single people, we think, if I cross the line and I actually have sexual intercourse, I ruin everything. And other people have convinced themselves, if I do everything else but this, I'm still pure. And I think we have to redefine what purity is when it comes to singleness.
Yeah, I do think that, growing up for me, purity culture, I would say, was a very toxic culture. Mm. You know, you mentioned earlier this idea of flipping a switch.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of people that I know that I've talked to, it does feel like that. And how do you balance that? You know, what does it look like to be prepared for sex within marriage without essentially trying it first? Or how do you educate yourself, prepare yourself without crossing those lines and moving into that area of lust or not being pure?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing we miss is, like, I don't think God wants you to be prepared for sex until your marriage, right? Like, the beauty of the way God designed sex, and we've learned this over, you know, 18 years of being married, is one of the beauty things is, like, when we first started having sex, we had no clue what we were doing. Obviously, we knew how the anatomy worked, but what has been so beautiful in our marriage is learning each other, like learning our bodies, learning how, you know, what makes Ashley feel good and what doesn't. And over time you learn, and like sex, I know people say this, but like, it is like a wine. Like the more it ages, the better it becomes. And it's this journey. It's not like, oh, you can have sex and automatically you're great at it and it's good. No, like we're doing right now a lot of premarital counseling. I don't know. It's like a season of premarital counseling. We're doing a lot of weddings, and I'm trying to help young people understand that, like, you don't need to be ready for sex. You're going to be bad at it from the start. Purity is what matters. And when you're pure, you go into sex with not, I'm trying to get something from somebody, or you are trying to please me and I'm trying to please you. No, it's this journey of, like, I want to know your body and I want to make you, I want to serve you and I want you to serve me. And it's this beautiful journey of growing together that you can at some level hinder by trying to prepare yourself for something that you really shouldn't be prepared for. It's a journey that you go on with your spouse.
Yeah, we were just, I love that you mentioned that. We've been doing a lot of the premarital engagement counseling, and we were with one of our couples like a week or two ago, and we were talking about purity, and they were like, oh, you know, we just want to apologize to one another and to y'all. Like, we've made mistakes. And we were like, no, purity isn't that. Purity is what you choose today before God. Purity is, I don't know, whatever happened in before today, whatever happened in the past, like, God has forgiven me and has nailed my sin to the cross. And purity is what I want to choose today and for my future through the grace of the Lord.
Right.
Because none of us, if we define purity the way you and I grew up, Britt, defining purity is like, I just got to get to my marriage bed as like a technical virgin and like, hopefully I'll like be blessed by God. Like, that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lie. Purity, none of us, if that's the case, then 3-year-olds aren't pure, because we all immediately start sinning as soon as we're physically capable. And purity is that there's no trace of immorality among you. And that only happens through being like, God, I've messed up in these ways or in these ways. I want you to forgive me. And I want to move forward trying to honor you with my body, trying to honor you with my future marriage. And so I would say to the single person, there is no reason to be sad. There is no reason to be dismayed about your past, because you can choose any day, today. I love the Lord. I want to submit to his plan, even though I never followed it before, even though I didn't know what that meant. I want to submit to his plan now. And he is like, if we believe that redemption on the cross was real and true, and that the same Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead is in us, making us a new person, you are a new person. And so I think it's really important that we define that, because, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago, purity was like, you got to your marriage technically unscathed. And it was like, that's a lie. Yeah. That's a lie we were all telling ourselves. And Drew and I grew up in that. We totally were kids in the 90s and early 2000s when, you know, that was, you know, as long as you had your little necklace or your ring, you were like good to go. You're going to have this blessed marriage. And like, no, that's not it. A blessed marriage is a marriage that's constantly submitting to God. Even before you walk down the aisle, you're saying, God, I submit to you. Your plan is different. Yep. It's crazy. My friends think I'm nuts because I am trying so hard to not watch this movie, to not check in on this website, to not watch this much TikTok where there's nude stuff, like whatever that looks like for you. But like that's the extravagant portion of it. It's not, you know, what we were all told in, you know, 2005 or whatever.
Yeah. And one of the greatest lies the enemy tells young people is like, you've messed up, you've ruined it. Right? Like,
yeah, hey, it's over.
You had sex, you will not have a good sex life in your marriage because you did this.
Yeah, just throw in the towel now. You can't make it up for yourself.
That's not how God works. Praise the Lord, that's not how God works, right? He is a God of grace and forgiveness, and his way is better. And when you choose it, you walk into that freedom. And so, like, you almost, we just want to free people from that burden that the enemy has put on you, not God.
Yeah.
Even expounding one more step, just in a hope, like a hope moment, this same couple that we were chatting with who was, you know, kind of apologizing and we were trying to help them move forward. Drew brought up we were sitting with having lunch with them and he said, isn't God so good? Such a giver of good gifts, because both of these humans were basically saying like, I have, you know, had impure situations before this. And Drew was like, isn't God so good? Because we're all at this table right now and you both desire his plan and he is giving you a marriage. You know, they're engaged. He's about to give you a marriage where you both love him and want to serve one another. And what a beautiful gift you're getting despite whatever happened in the past. And it was just like one of those moments where like we all kind of had goosebumps, because it's like, he is so good and he wants to give such good things. And if we are willing to ask for forgiveness for whatever happened before and move forward with like what he desires for us, he has good gifts in store. And it was such a hope moment.
Yeah. I love that. The, you know, you had just, you know, mentioned, I'm just thinking about like the word freedom that you used there. And something that I have really been learning lately is that freedom in the Lord truly comes from dependence on God and submission in that relationship. And, you know, I think we focus a lot on like the horizontal at this point, but you then shifted this message, because Jesus shifted this message originally, right? That really it all comes back to that vertical relationship with the Lord and the heart the root and the heart. And so really what we want to focus on first to prepare, right? Like it's not about educating ourselves so much as it's about submitting to the Lord and having that vertical relationship with him. And, you know, as a single person myself, I feel like that is truly, you know, as I'm preparing for marriage, that is what I'm looking at. That's what I'm doing. And that's what, you know, I hope if, you know, God wills it, that someday my future spouse is also doing that right now and focusing on that, because I feel like that's the best way. You're never going to be prepared for marriage. No. You're never going to be prepared for sex or for kids or, you know, whatever those giant steps are in life. And so, but one step at a time. Another thing the Lord's been teaching me lately is just wait on him.
Yep.
And, you know, he gives us just one footstep's worth of light. And so preparing my heart best as I can by spending time with him, really. And, you know, there's lots of action steps that come out of spending time with him and focusing on that. But really, you know, so from my perspective as a single person, that's where I'm spending my time. That's where I think we should be spending our time, is really like doing some self-reflective deep work. Because, you know, as we mentioned at the beginning of this, you know, it goes back to that heart. Adultery starts before the actual act of adultery. Yep. So what has led to adultery? Is it selfishness? Is it revenge on, you know, your spouse? Is it, seeking pleasure, or is it, just this act of, insecurity, even, you know, like there's heart level root issues that I think we can be self-reflective before we're married and post-marriage and constantly be working towards that. So what are you guys working from a heart level on to work with that relationship with the Lord?
Yeah. I mean, I think in anything, your relationship with the Lord is the thing that often keeps you from stupid things, right? It's like you said, no one wakes up and is like, you know what, I feel like committing adultery today. It is a slippery slope. And that slope starts with the denying what the Spirit is telling you, right? So the whole purpose of you walking with God is when, you know, a girl walks by that is attractive, the Holy Spirit says, don't look again, right? Mm-hmm. And it's those slippery decisions to say, no, I'd rather take a look. No, I'd rather linger. And that look then leads to lust. And then that lust, the enemy knows strategically how to build off of just small, stupid choices of like, hey, wouldn't that be nice, right? Hey, your wife can't pull that off. Hey, you know, and it just slowly builds. And so like, I think we have to be careful in our lives, you know, like one of my points is remain faithful, right? And mm-hmm. and the most important place to remain faithful is God, because he is the one who will keep you from adultery, right? You on your own aren't strong enough. The devil is too wise, too crafty, too convincing. And we are naturally prone to sin. We are naturally prone to things that aren't good for us. And so we have to consistently remind ourselves in our walk with God that God's way is better, even if I don't believe it, right? God's way, even if it feels old fashioned or boring, or the world tells me it's stale, it's always better. And so like, it's like you said, dependence and believing that truth and preaching it to yourself over and over again, and being around people like, hey, go talk to someone who has been through a divorce, who has lived through adultery. Ask them if it was better. Mm. Ask them how much damage it did. Luckily in my job, I get to see the damage of this all the time, right? Like I see what adultery has done to people and to kids and in counseling sessions. And so like, it's like, I'm blessed every day. This sounds weird to say it's a blessing, but it is. I'm blessed to see the damage through people's lives. That's just a powerful reminder that like, that is not the fun that they were promised. That is not the joy and the pleasure that they were promised. And so walking closely with God and allowing and heeding the Spirit's warnings is a huge part of that.
I was challenged by a friend recently to, just have my Bible app like on like audio, like where it's like just like saying the, like there's like the little narrator and he like just talks. Says out loud, yeah. There's a couple of different narrators and some of them are tough to listen to. And literally my friend was like, you got to get over that. Like, you know, okay, it's the old guy on like the Bible app, like just listen to it. Like, because if I waited, sometimes, you know, we have four busy kids, I work part-time, so there's a lot. So my friend was like, if you're waiting to like always having quiet time to read your Bible, like just put the Bible app on and hit the narrator button and let him say it to you while you're making coffee or while you're feeding the kids or whatever. So I've been really trying to do that. And it's a very powerful reminder if you're trying to like be in the Word, however that looks for you, whether it's listening to the narrator guy or it's you're really faithful about trying to get in the Bible every morning or whatever that looks like. That is a great insurance because you heard God's holy and special word that day. And before you take, like Drew said, taking that second look that you shouldn't take, or like clicking something on your news feed that you shouldn't even like, what? Why is that on my news feed? And you click it. Like there is that, like God's holy word in your life that morning or via audio or however that is, that's almost like giving you this, like, just like God's message to you that morning. And it could be any part. Like, it's not even the verses have to be God, Jesus's Sermon on the Mount, or like the verses that we're using in this series, or the Ten Commandments. You're just having God's holy word in your heart so that you are fighting temptation with that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, our kids had to memorize last week. We had them memorizing like the armor, like, you know, putting on the armor of God and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit. And it's like, that sounds silly, but like, those are the things that are going to help you fight this temptation. Mm-hmm. And like listening to his word, whatever part it is, or like jumping into his word, even for a little bit that morning, it's fresh in your mind. We as humans are so forgetful. Mm-hmm. Even if we heard it yesterday and now it's Monday, we're so forgetful. So it's like, you know, it's like you have to brush your teeth every day. You might as well like listen to your Bible or check in with your Bible, because otherwise we're going to be completely, it only takes 24 hours to get completely rotten, kind of like your breath. It's like, yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's your reminder. It's like,
or we're easily fooled too, right? Fooled. Like we're easily tricked, duped, right? And it doesn't take much. And like I, like you said, like that Bible, this is like a nerdy or like Star Wars terms, it's like building a force field around your life. Mm-hmm. Right? And it just protects you. It builds a protection, or at least a layer that the enemy has to push deeper through, right? And some people just walk around like, oh, there it is, there's the temptation, boom. You know, like built, like keep thickening that force field around your life, those guardrails that protect you from going off the cliff.
Yeah. And those guardrails, you know, I think there's a lot of standard ones, right, that we all need to be doing.
Yep.
But then I also think that's personalized too. You know, I think being in the word, prayer, even just community. Those are three standard ones that you want to have. But then we also, you know, in doing that self-reflective work, we reveal, okay, what is more tempting to me? What are my weaknesses? And then putting a plan in place that's personalized to you to have those, that force field, those guardrails. Yep. And you know, I think, you know, it really, as we wrap up here, just really what it comes down to is being faithful each day, each moment, right? Yep. As the Lord is faithful to us each day, each moment, and wanting to protect us. You know, you said that he is a good father who wants to protect his children and help us so that we aren't experiencing that pain, that destruction, that all of these things, no matter what sin it is, it's going to bring that into our life. And so remaining faithful, just a little bit of manna each day, and that faithfulness. Any final thoughts from you guys? Any final thoughts on hope or redemption for those who are in the thick of it right now?
Yeah, I mean, the hope of the gospel is so beautiful, right? Like, it doesn't matter what's in your past or what you're walking through right now or the hardship that you're facing. The great news of the gospel is you're forgiven, right? We're all adulterers. God offers us grace and mercy. And today you can choose to walk down a different path. Today you can choose a better path, a godly path. Not going to be easy, going to be difficult, but a better one, one that leads to lasting joy, strong marriages. And so I would just challenge you, no matter what your past looks like, know you're forgiven. God is full of grace and mercy, and he offers you a better way.
I would say, if you're listening, or if you were at church on Sunday and you listened there as well, like, and you felt like this is something you're struggling with, or something about this message really, like, you felt convicted, whether it be like cheating on God through like just putting idols in front of him, putting things in front of him every single day, or you're cheating on your spouse, or just emotionally being separated from your spouse, whether you're a single person really, really struggling with like purity, I feel like an action step today from a practical standpoint would be to tell somebody. And even though we don't want to do that, a friend actually just challenged me on this recently. You know, if you tell somebody who's close to you and who loves you and who loves God, it actually brings you closer. The devil always tells us, if I tell somebody this, they're going to judge me or they're going to step away from me. Actually, we all can think of a time when somebody said something to us that they were struggling with. You actually feel closer to them in that moment because you're like, you just confided this in me and I want to help you with this. Like, we all would feel closer to someone who said that, to who opened up to us instead of like the lie that the devil tells you about, like, oh, if I told somebody this, they would distance themselves from me. It's mm-hmm. like the complete opposite, mm. as so many things are in God's economy. And so I would say an action step today would be like, tell somebody who loves you and who loves God. And then they are going to be like, oh my word, you shared this with me. I want to help you with this. I want to help you set up guardrails. I want to help you pursue the next step. I want to help you save your marriage, even if you're on the very last thread. And that, you know, pray about it, take it to the Lord. He can redeem anything, and tell somebody who loves you and loves God.
Mm. Awesome. Thanks so much, guys, for sharing today, for getting into it. You guys can come back next week. We're going to be having our family weekend, our kids week. And so next week's commandment is honoring your father and mother. And we'll see you next time.